Great. Well, welcome everyone. It's good to be back after last week away in Poland. And I just want to share something very simple this evening. It's actually something I shared at the B School last Friday evening. It was just what I felt Father giving me for today as well. But don't you just love it? You know, you go to an A School or something and the last night or one of the last sessions, it's the glorious freedom of the sons of God. And, you know, many of us will have been there and probably heard stories of, you know, how people have really found freedom. You know, like one particular lady was praying in the state somewhere and then found herself praying for this man in Siberia. And, you know, just totally sort of freely, almost like being transported there. And many of us will have heard the story about the guy who lived in the center of America and suddenly found himself at the sea on the coast, where he was able to save a girl from drowning. And then he was back in his bedroom and he met the girl later on. You know, and we love those stories of freedom. And of course, Jesus was totally free. I mean, after his resurrection, he just walked through the wall into the locked upper room where his disciples and where his followers were. It says at the beginning of the Gospels, when he'd read, I think, the passage from Luke in the temple, and the people were really angry, or the leaders were really angry, because he claimed to be the Son of God. And they wanted to take him outside and stone him. But he was just so free that he could just walk out of that situation and walk away from it. And, you know, all these stories are really, you know, they're great and they're really encouraging and they inspire us. And, you know, all of us long for that sort of thing to happen in our lives. But actually what John was praying just a couple of minutes ago is I think really where it's at for the vast majority of us. It's like the little things in our lives that we see freedom in. You know, it may be something we've been struggling with and suddenly Father breaks in and sets us free. And it's like we just sort of wake up a few months later and think, oh, wow, you know, I'm not struggling with that anymore. You know, maybe that we're suffering an illness or a sickness, and, you know, God brings his healing and suddenly we feel free of that. And it's like, yeah, wow, I've been free, been set free. And it's those little things that really do form so much of our journey with Father. You know, maybe the attitudes that we've struggled with, and suddenly we find we're free of those bad attitudes, or, you know, suddenly we find that there's more joy in our hearts, or more peace in our hearts, or more rest. And it's like, you know, that is a measure of freedom that we weren't living in before. And, you know, I look back over my last few years and, you know, I know there's, in my heart, there's a lot more freedom than there was 10 years ago. And a lot of it is just the little things. And so it was really, really encouraging for us when John prayed that we would discover freedom, we would find freedom in the little things in life, because that's what most of us spend our everyday lives doing. It's the normal routine things. And what Father wants is he wants our hearts to be free, he wants our lives to be free, so that even going to work or even meeting people or even doing housework or whatever, you know, within our hearts we can feel a greater sense of freedom, we can feel a greater measure of freedom that we've not had before. And I just encourage you to maybe not even be specific this evening, but just to say, Father, I want more freedom in my life, I want more freedom in my heart, and let him bring that freedom where he will. Because I believe as we open our hearts to him, and as we open our hearts to receive more and more of his love, then one of the results of that is that we become more free. And, you know, being free is just such a tremendous gift. I I really believe there are two particular things that the enemy has stolen from us. And he knows that if he can keep those from us, it traps us and in a lot of ways makes us very, very ineffective. And the two things that I really see that we've been robbed of, they go together. They're actually completely intertwined. The two things are freedom and rest. And the more we grow in freedom, the more we will find rest. And the more rest we discover, the more rest we enter into, the more freedom we will find. You can't divorce these two things from each other. You can't separate them. They're totally, totally bound up together. And the enemy really, really seeks to stop us entering and living in a life of rest. And he really wants to stop our hearts finding freedom. And it's the little things of our day-to-day lives where we struggle and stuff that, you know, we feel guilt or we feel condemnation or whatever. And it's that that keeps us trapped. And, you know, the enemy knows that if he can trap our hearts and keep us prisoner, then we then become ineffective because we're not living properly as sons and daughters. But part of us is enslaved because we're effectively not free and we're therefore in a prison. And, you know, if we can step into this freedom and step into this rest, we enter a much, you know, a greater level of living as sons and daughters. And so I really just encourage you this evening, and, you know, maybe even after the webcast is over, is to say, Father, I want more freedom. And just ask him to come and set your heart free in whichever area and whichever area he chooses and in whichever way he chooses. You know, you might not see anything dramatic tomorrow morning, but you might look back 6 months down the road and think, I am so much more free than I was. And, you know, that's the journey that as we go deeper and deeper in the Father's love, I really believe that our hearts are set free. You know, one of the things about freedom is it's possible to be set free but not be free. One of the saddest statistics in the Western world is the incredibly high number of prisoners who leave prison at the end of their sentence and then reoffend within a very, very short period of time and end up back in prison. And I can't remember what the percentage is, but it really is an incredibly high percentage of people who just have been set free. You know, they've walked out of their prison cell, they've walked out of the prison building. You know, they've stood as a free man or a free woman, but yet something inside of them is not free. And very shortly, they fall back into that life of crime and very often end up back in prison again. You know, it's possible to be in a prison cell. Let me use this as a picture. To be in a prison cell, sitting on a wooden chair, and for the prison guard to come along and open the door of your cell and say, you're free. But of course, we all know that it's entirely possible for us to stay sitting on that chair in that prison cell. And we're as much a prisoner with the door open as we were when the door was shut. And many of us live our lives like that. You know, Jesus came to set us free. When we become Christians, our sin is dealt with at the cross. And, you know, Jesus has set us free from that life of sin and death. And he's opened the doorway for us to enter a new life. But sadly, many, many people, although that prison cell is open, although they've been set free, in their hearts, they remain a prisoner. And the thing that always strikes me about freedom is very, very simple, is that we've been set free from something in order to be something. You know, we've been set free from a life of slavery, a life of sin and death, in order to be free to be sons and daughters. And many, many people really interpret their freedom as simply and only being set free from something. But that's only part of the story. That's only one little facet of the picture. Because in Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. You know, we've been set free in order to be free. And we've been set free from an old life in order to be free to enjoy a new life, which is us living as sons and daughters and living in that place where we constantly, constantly receive the love of the Father being poured into our hearts. And you know, if you take anything away from this evening, just remember that you've been set free from something in order to be free to be someone. And that someone is being set free to be a son or a daughter to your Heavenly Father. Freedom is just so, so important. And, you know, God longs for his sons and daughters to be free in the same way as Jesus is free. Now, you know, we won't attain that perfect freedom 100% of the time until, you know, we ultimately enter heaven. But we can grow in freedom now. We can see more and more areas of our lives being set free by the power and the love of the Father. And this evening, I really just want to look at three particular verses which have really helped me on my journey into freedom, because it gives us a sense of the vision that the Father has for us. It gives us a sense of where he's calling us to and where he's leading us to. And the first verse I just want to sort of look into a little bit is, well, the first couple of verses are in Micah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And it says, I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with people. Let's just stop there for a moment. That's verse 12, is a very, very pastoral verse. You know, it's a picture of God gathering his people together and drawing them into a safe place, like a shepherd would lead the sheep into the sheep pen. Like, you know, at the end of the day, a shepherd would go out into the fields and into the open country and would gather together all of the sheep and bring them back to the sheep pen in order that they were safe overnight. And, you know, that verse there is it does capture for us something incredible of the Father's heart, that he longs to gather his people together. He longs to draw us into a safe place. He longs to bring us into that place of community. But that's only half of the picture, only half of the story, because the next verse, verse 13, says this: one who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass before them, the Lord at their head. And what we have here is this picture of us being completely set free. You know, their king will pass before them. Obviously, is a picture of prophetically talking about Jesus. And it's like saying Jesus is going to break open what has been a safe place. He's going to break it open in order that we can be let loose, that we can break through that gate and we can go out into a wide open space where we can be free. You know, I guess it's the picture of a shepherd coming to the sheep pen in the morning and opening the gate and saying, come on, sheep, let's be free, and leading them back out into the pasture, back out into this wide open space where they can be free. And it's a picture of safety, of course, because our shepherd or our king is going there with us and before us. And, you know, I guess I really want to encourage us this evening that it's okay to break out and be free. You know, sometimes I think we feel very safe when we're in the sheep pen, and it feels like a safe place. And sometimes we feel a little bit insecure when we're talking about breaking out and being free. But that's the picture that Micah gives us here, is that the wall is going to be broken down and we can break out. It's quite a sort of, you know, strong picture of breaking out and breaking through and being free as we go into this wide open space. And I encourage all of you that Father has for each one of you and for me a wide open space, a place of freedom, a place of joy that he wants us to enter into. And, you know, as John prayed at the beginning, very often these things, this freedom is in the small areas of our life, the small things of our life. And just say, Father, I want to be free. I want to break out. If you know that you've been held captive, if you've been held in, if it feels like you're sort of fenced in, just say, Father, I want to break out. I want to break out. Because he will lead you into that place of freedom. And the thing I've discovered about freedom is wherever there is freedom, there is also joy. And Jesus says in John, I think it's John chapter 15, that in Jesus is saying, my joy will be in you and your joy will be, you know, will be made complete. And it's like he wants us to enjoy the joy of heaven in our everyday lives, not just on Sundays, not just at conferences, but every day of our lives, whatever we're doing, whether we're going to work or whether we're doing shopping or whatever we're involved with, he wants us to live in the joy of heaven. And as we grow in freedom, as we enter into our freedom, as our hearts become free, I really believe that we discover, you know, a much, much greater level of joy. The second verse I just want to look at is Job 36, verse 16. It says, he is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful verse? I love that verse. You know, the word wooing is a romantic word. You know, it's an intimate drawing of us. And it's like the Father is drawing us, intimately drawing us. He's drawing us from the place where the jaws of distress. Now, you know, how many people feel like the jaws of distress are right there, you know, right alongside you? You know, it's like you're almost devoured by this distress that is coming alongside of you. And it's like, you know, the Father says, I will draw you away from that place, from that place of turmoil, and I will lead you to a spacious place which is free from restriction. You know, and that's the picture of the freedom that Father has for us, is to lead us into a place where there is no restriction, where we are completely free. You know, you've probably seen sometimes, you know, young children walking along the road with their parents. And some of them have a little harness on and like a lead, you know, they're almost like a dog being taken for a walk. But yeah, it's to stop them running off, obviously. But as that child grows up, you know, that harness and can come off, and they are much, much freer to walk on their own, and they don't have to sort of walk within the confines of that limited length of a lead or whatever. And it's a little bit like that, that the Father is saying to us, he's drawing us to a place where there is, where we are where we're not restricted, where we're free to go, you know, where we like. It's this wide open space that he leads us into and says, enjoy. And right in the middle of this spacious place where there's no restriction, there's a table which is full of good food. And isn't that what Father does for us? He leads us into a place and then he nurtures and comforts and nourishes and feeds us. You know, and I just encourage you to look for that place. Say, Father, I want to be led into that wide open space. I want to be led to that place where there is no restriction. I want to be led to that place of comfort, to that place of provision. And just let him lead you. For each one of us, that will be a different place. That will be a different process. But the result is the same, that we are drawn in this intimate relationship from the turmoil and the distress of the things that are like yapping at our ankles, and we're led into this spacious place. That's what Father wants to do for each one of us, is to lead us into a place of freedom. The third verse I just want to look at is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to read this from the Message. Paul writes, dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide, open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. And I just think this is a wonderful description of what Father wants to do for us. See, Paul is writing to the Corinthians and saying, you're living a very narrow and limited life. You know, and he says, my heart is that you enter this wide open space that we've just been talking about. You know, Paul is saying, we didn't put you in a box, you know, but you're living in a box. And it's a box that you've created for yourselves. And Paul says, you know, your lives are much too big to be in a box. And he says, you know, get out of your box and live openly and expansively. Live in freedom. And many of us, at many different times in our lives, I guess we feel a little bit like we're put in a box, that we're feeling like we're being boxed in or fenced in, and you know, that everything about our lives is just sort of crushing in on us. And when we feel like that, we lose our perspective. We lose the sense of who we really are. And Paul here is encouraging us to step out of that into a wide open space where we can enjoy the freedom that has been won for us. You know, your lives are not small, but you're living them in a small way. And many of us will know that's true for ourselves. I know that's true for me often, is that, you know, I know that I'm not living in the place that is my inheritance. And Paul gives us an invitation here to open up and live expansively, live a big life. A couple of verses later in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul simply writes that clear promise to us, you know, I will be a father to you. And it's like if we put the two things together, it says, come on, we've got a big, big, wide open, spacious life to live in because God is being a father to us. That when we live in that place of being loved every day by our Heavenly Father, when we live in that place of knowing that he is loving us right now, when we live in that, in the center of his affection, we can do so because and we can do so because we know his fatherhood, we know his fathering, and that leads us to step into this wide open space where we enjoy this wonderful table that we were talking about a few moments ago, where we enjoy this freedom and this liberty that is ours to live in. See, this is the inheritance of sons and daughters. This is what, you know, our Father wants for each one of us. He wants us to, let's look back over these. He wants us to break out and be free. You know, he doesn't want us to live a contained life, but he wants us to burst forth into our freedom. He wants us to experience this place that is free from restriction, where we can experience the comfort of his provision for us. And whatever area you're facing at the moment, just ask the Father to comfort you, to pour his comfort into your hearts, because his promise to give us this table of good food in this wide open place. And he wants us to get out of our boxes and to be free, because he is being a father to us. See, the key for me in this whole topic of freedom is for us to really understand that we are his sons and daughters. You know, a slave is not free. A servant is not free. You know, they may live in their master's house. They may have a room in their master's house or an annex in their father's house. But whenever whenever their master wants something, a slave and a servant has to go and do it. You know, if it's in the middle of the night and the master wants something, the servant has to do it. You know, they're not free. They belong to someone else. Someone else rules their life, tells them what to do. And really, they have very, very little freedom. But Jesus says to us in John chapter 8 that a slave, a servant, an orphan has no permanent place in the family, but a son or a daughter belongs to it forever. And I really believe that the key to us living this life of freedom is when we step into our true identity as sons and daughters. And the more we grow in that relationship with Father, the more we allow his love to be poured into our hearts, it's an automatic consequence that we will live in greater freedom. Because freedom is the inheritance of sons and daughters. And it's you know, as we regain our freedom, as we grow in freedom, as we live in more and more freedom, we will discover more and more of this rest that is promised to us. And when we live this life of freedom and rest, I really believe that we will be fruitful, as Jesus says in John 15, because we'll be living grafted into the source of life, and that life will just flow through us. You know, when he pours his love into our hearts, it can't help but overflow. And the more we discover this freedom and live in freedom, you know, the more his love will flow out through us. The key really is discovering that we are his sons and daughters. And I just want to end by just playing a song that I've really come to really like it a huge amount over the last few weeks. But it talks about our true identity and destiny as sons and daughters. Many of you will probably know it. It's No Longer Slaves by Jonathan David Helser, Jonathan and Melissa. And it really catches something of this wonderful relationship that Father's drawn us into. So I'm just going to play this. And then whilst I'm doing it, just say, Father, come and set my heart free. And then at the end of the video, Barry and John can come back, and then maybe we'll just spend a few moments praying and asking Father to release freedom into our hearts. So this should work.